Hi, everyone. I'm Carrie Cassidy from Project Camelot, and very happy to be here today. So we have a fascinating guest, as always. In this case, it's Deborah Taveras, and it's lovely to have her back on the show. So if you stand by, I'm going to make sure that we get her here on the screen. Well, actually, she's on the phone, so that's not going to happen. But at any rate, stand by. Deborah, are you there?
Yes, Carrie, I am still here.
Okay, good. So lovely to have you on the show. Very happy to have you here with me. So can you, let's just make sure that we've got you so that people can hear you. So go ahead and talk right now, and let's make sure that they can hear you.
Okay, so again, I'm Deborah Taveras. I host some websites. The primary website is stopthecrime.net. Always encourage people to subscribe and to hit the bell notification so that you'll receive any blast outs that we send out, and we stay to the documents, as you know. I don't deviate from the documents because I have been too skeptical over the years to make assumptions, really, and the documents tell us enough. So again, the second website is primarywater.org. That is going to be essential going forward as our water is reduced in accessibility to each and every single one of us. So I'm hoping, Carrie, that you're getting a response, that people are hearing me, because I'll start diving in. Obviously, I want to be heard.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Everyone seems to be fine and able to hear you very well. So let's just start off with current events and your take on some of the things that have been going on as, you know, we've been going through these last few months, because I haven't had you on in several months, I think. So let's really hear
We're going to dig into that, absolutely. I first want to make a few blanket foundational statements based on documents, of course. And we're finding ourselves, I think everyone is recognizing the enormity of what we all face, at least I hope you do, and we're going to go over some of that certainly today with some of the intentions behind the Trojan horse called COVID. But I want to certainly emphasize, for those of you that have not read The Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars, Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars, you can look that up, print that off, certainly go through it. But I want to tell you a couple of important things that have been being conducted through a silent weapons system being used on us, with which is concerning biological warfare and more through a silent weapons system. And we have to recognize, of course, that a silent weapons system operates upon data obtained from a docile public. And that's what we're told. We're docile. And, of course, with all the data and with what we're now experiencing, that's been evident. When the government is able to collect taxes and seize private property and legal encroachment, the public is ripe for surrender and is consenting to further enslavement. So this is important, what you're going to hear me say right now, and this is going to tie in to a lot of what we're going to discuss, Carrie, as we go forward today, and some of the other documents regarding COVID and the increased life with COVID that we're all going to be living in the in and out of continuous quarantines and self-isolations, and which is just imprisonments in our homes as we head towards a global reset where all legacy systems are being replaced. And that's a little bit of what we're going to talk about in more detail. But it's important to know that war is the balancing of the system by killing the true creditors. Now, that's all of us. By killing the true creditors, the public, which the overlords or the elite or whomever you want to call them, have taught us to exchange true value for inflated currencies. And now we're going to have to fall back on whatever is left of the resources of nature and regeneration of those resources and many of you may have noticed intentionally, mass pollution by large industry and corporate industry has polluted nature. We have the chemtrailing overhead every day. That is certainly spraying and decimating our trees and our plants and our soil, causing massive continuous weaponized weather events all over the world, which of course can now be individually targeted on businesses. We've noticed back in October and November of 2019 here in Sonoma County, it was called the Kincade Fire. And literally, individual wineries can be targeted and burned, and there were. And in fact, we have a video up going through that war zone, and it is called Fires, This is War. And again, go to stopthecrime.net to the YouTube video, and you will see us going through the debris, and we certainly show how the many years of overhead spraying has literally destroyed the trees. Many of the trees that look like they're still living are so compromised with the heavy expected winds of increased weather events upon all of us, trees will become very, very dangerous. And I'm going to throw this in right now, and just to get this off my mind, there is a recent document that talks about, for the first time in history, going back over 1,200 years, scientists have now proven that the ongoing mega drought that we are going to experience here in the western United States is caused by humans. Now, we know that is not true. And they're talking about all the states that will be in mega drought. They define a mega drought as being decades, many decades. So we are facing an altered, controlled technological use of weather weapons to destroy anywhere that they aim. And they can aim at a separate house. They can take out a separate house. They can create a lightning strike that will hit a specific person. And they do this all the time. So I think it's high time for people to understand the enormity and intentionality of what the weather weapons have now created and what they're doing. And I would certainly wake up as many people or create the awareness with as many people as possible to harden up against the increased weather weapons that we're all going to face. And we're being told that in all of the documents. In fact, they're talking about the concerns of evacuations, whatever event you're facing, whether it's floods, cyclones, hurricanes, fires, where they're going to house people that have to evacuate because of now of COVID. They're even talking about the new ways in which firefighters are going to have to stage themselves before they can go up and fight the fires. It is massively expensive. This entire COVID Trojan horse has many levels of intention. One, of course, is what we are all seeing, and that's global bankruptcy. I want to throw this in because this is pertinent. This is a quote from William Casey, the CIA director, in 1981, and he said, quote, "We'll know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false." And that is, in fact, the case. We have been taught nothing that is true. Our history is false and recreated. Today is false and recreated. And an example of that would be turn on your radio and listen to your weather reports. They just lie, lie, and lie. And you'll never hear a weather report stating, well, we'll be heavily chemtrailed tomorrow, and that'll whip up a storm that will hit the central United States and decimate farms and possibly eliminate wells. And then that will cause levees to rupture. And of course, we will have an atmospheric river over some reservoirs and dams, and we'll cause them to collapse because didn't you hear that the reservoirs, dams, infrastructure, river, roads, again, wastewater treatment plants, and other aspects of infrastructure, they're telling us in documents, that they were never engineered or built to withstand the new elevated seismic activity as well as the increased climate change weather events. Now, they will tell you, if you don't believe in climate change, that you're a climate denier. always go back and say you are a weather weapons denier. It is weather weapons. And sadly, we have kids that have just graduated from high school, highly indoctrinated, believing that it's too many people using too much stuff, and now they're roving the streets in a false reality. And they are looking at older people as the cause of their inability to continue to exist on this planet. But let's go over a couple of other fundamental requirements to understand, again, foundationally, and then we're going to jump into the current events, as you said, Carrie, along with COVID and more.
Okay, that's fine, and thank you for that overview. What I want to do is really quickly just ask you on a personal level, I'm sure the audience is curious, how you and your family have weathered the last 3-4 months or whatever.
Well, I appreciate that, and I will say that I have been working with, for everybody, I am in Northern California, about an hour north of the Golden Gate Bridge, and we have been forming a small, albeit network, of people that have been hardening up, because we face, and we know we face, increased weather events. Many of us have been reducing the wind load on our trees that are near our homes so that as they increase the winds, we're not going to have trees going through our roofs. When you know the enormity of and the scale and the ability to pinpoint areas, you start to have to take action and recognize what you need to do. So for the last many months, and actually well before that, many people in our network have been doing a variety of hardening up issues, as I said. Acquiring enough topside water if they're in the rural area, which is called the WUI, Wildlands Urban Interface. This is now a prohibited living location according to sustainable development goals. Everyone must be within the city growth boundaries. And so when you go down to your planning department in your city and you ask them, where is the city boundaries, you may find that you're outside of that. So whether you're inside or out, you're going to be slowly, I hate to say this, slowly terminated. Most people won't survive the types of attacks and assaults that have been planned and schemed for us again. Remember, I told you that the true creditors have sold out their true value for fake and phony currency. And simply now, the globalists no longer need to leech on us to move forward their agendas. And we read that in many of the documents where not only are humans now obsolete, but actually countries and worldwide governments are now obsolete, and we'll get into that. But again, state and federal governments are not real, and that's fundamentally an enormous understanding to have to realize. And I would say to all of you that understanding that originally, that federal and state governments are not real, was the most traumatizing aspect of my realization. Because And why I say that is because then it became easy to then look at the documents and understand the enormity of what is being served up to all of us.
Okay, now, Deborah, I just want to stop you there, because in this latest experience with COVID, what we found was almost to the contrary of that, though, because at least in California, our city mayor, well, here in L.A., down in L.A., and actually, I don't live in L.A., but, you know, Garcetti, and obviously Newsom is
the governor. Yeah.
And he has been able to lock down our state worse than most of the states out there. And this continues, as a matter of fact. Obviously, we're not completely open yet, whereas other states are. And so that would indicate that there is, and this may be because of the Trump administration giving them reins, what I would say reins enough to hang themselves, in essence, to reveal the governors out there that are not part of a positive agenda, that are definitely read in with the New World Order, et cetera. So Newsom it obviously fits in that category. So what would you say to all that?
Well, I would say that all the governors attend a national governors conference to bring in sustainable development goals. And what are those briefly? That is the reduction of all resources such as water, electricity, natural gas, elimination of driving. They don't want us idling. So that's why drive-throughs will soon be eliminated. What we're watching is a massive transition from the restaurants that will be able to survive that are merely turning into kitchens now as people drive up to collect their food. That will soon be eliminated, and Amazon and others will start delivery services to our homes so that we don't have to leave our homes, which is the ultimate intention. As far as all the governors are concerned and the mayors in all of our cities, they are all... if you type in any governor in any city, followed by sustainable development goals, you will find that they are bringing in the globalization, as you will, the one world government, one world order. It's here. We're already here. Because when you, again, look at that, just again, as I said, type in the name of your governor or the name of your local mayor, type in your city and followed by sustainable development goals. You'll be stunned.
Okay, but there are indications, again, I'm saying here in California, and you know, I don't know how much you paid attention to this because I'm in Southern California, and we've had areas where the mayors and even the people in charge of the counties, like the county of Orange County, have rebelled against the governor directly, have gone against the governor. So this has been a very interesting situation that we've encountered, in which not everyone appears to be in lockstep. Even though they have been signing off on these things in general, when push comes to shove, we do see that there is some variation there. Very substantially, Orange County stood out as rebelling, even against the ban on the beaches as well, in case you're not aware of that.
I am absolutely aware because we have beach banding up here in Northern California as well. It is the same condition everywhere. We have had local county opposition to the increased lockdown measures that Sonoma County has been put in and under versus being more stringent than those that the governor has stated. In fact, recently there was, and this is all theater, by the way, all of this is theater. And so everyone needs to understand, this just adds confusion. It makes it appear that we have an operation that is separate from the direct circle economy, the one world government conditions and policies that are already and have been in place for many years. So again, in order to keep the illusion that people can gain a position of victory is simply an illusion. It was the same thing when we were opposing the smart meters in Northern California. And as a result of many, many protests back in the 2009s and 10s, we were able to get the opt-out in California, and that was just an illusion. It was an appeasement program because we found the documents on the Vanderbilt website that talked about what they would need to do to slow down the opposition with all the protests. And I can say to you that they said, well, give them the opt-out. That will lead people into believing that it won't hurt you to have a pulsating weapon on the side of your house. And so when the protesters felt they had victory, then the protesting slowed down for a while. And I can only tell you, again, this is all theater. This is all an operation. And we know that. We know that we have Operation Alice in Wonderland, which continues to provide confusion on every issue. We do not have a functioning, operating government as we have all been told we have in SCUEL. And that fundamentally is a sad reality and a reality that is becoming more evident.
Well, so, I think that there is validity to what you're saying, and I can tell you that Britain actually does this on a regular basis. What they do is they'll put something out, and then the people will obviously come forward very vocally against whatever it happens to be. And then what they will do is take a step back. In other words, it will appear as if they've been persuaded to be less strenuous and less aggressive, when in reality, that was the step they were aiming at to start with. So it is a tactic. It is a tactic to appease the people that are rebelling. And we may perhaps look at this latest sort of group of rebellion that has to do with the protests as a similar type of thing. The other thing that it does is it does expose their opposition. So it exposes, just as you know, what we call Project Camelot, what I do, what you do. They allow a certain number of us to exist because we exist as what they call honeypots. And so we attract people who are the rebels in society so that they can then be, taken notice of and put on some list.
Neutralized.
Well, in theory, neutralized in the future. But in other words, they allow for a certain amount of, I mean, democracy itself is built on that premise that you allow for what appears to be votes and, you know, and participation and all of that. And so that people are calm and they feel that they can line up and go into a voting booth, when in reality, all the elections have been rigged. So this is a similar kind of thing that goes on. The only difference being in theory, this with the Trump administration, that they actually had to hack back that election away from Hillary because they were going to do it as normal and steal the election. But that wasn't allowed. Now, how long Trump and team are going to be able to kind of create this opposition to the New World Order, how successful they're going to be, is this is what we're sitting and here to watch and also participate in whatever ways we can contribute. But it is a tactic to appease the opposition. And then on the other hand, the Black Lives Matter also has to do with co-opting the revolution. I'm sure you've heard that terminology before, but that is what's going on. And anyone who lived through the 60s will probably remember that that's what they did back in that day as well. So there are these waves and sort of movements going on, but it is worth noting that these documents you're reading from are what they want to see happen, what their dictates are. But people
Carrie,
heart and mind rebel with their own heart and mind. You acknowledge that humans do have their own hearts and minds, right?
Of course, Carrie.
Yeah. So
of course,
just because
but I
want to
give
credit
get
to people. In other words, when I say when I'm referencing Black Lives Matter, the people that have been brought onto the streets are not all just, you know, burning things and destroying things. Some of them really believe in their cause legitimately, you know, and it's, you know, a legitimate cause, you know, police
Well, let's
brutality,
move into some of the documents.
Sort of
Yeah, let's move into some of this, because the chaos and confusion and the misdirection of people's efforts right now is important to note. And it is, as the information tells us, in order to bring in a global reset, there has to be quite a bit of significant distraction. And that is what we have seen amped up. It's all distraction. And also it's based on the fact that in many of the cities where we're seeing quite a bit of looting and increased anger is the fact that they have a crowd control weapons frequency systems set up in many of the towns and the cities. And of course that's called whatever you want to label the frequencies, any of them, all combined. And then when you've got crowd control, which we had here in Northern California, where they literally created an eeriness in the barricaded downtown area of Santa Rosa with the cost of presumably keeping people from breaking the windows and looting already little stores that are questionable whether they'll reopen because of COVID or not. But we're going into a second wave of COVID. We'll talk about that in a second. But what was interesting to note was the severity of the frequencies that many of my EMF-sensitive friends noted in the downtown area on the outside of all the barriers. And we were hearing later the news reports talking about how the crowds, the protesters, were splintering into neighborhoods. They were literally being herded by frequencies. We are all being massively mind-controlled. And free will, to what extent, is highly questionable now, as you may all realize. And we can talk about 5G on another show, but what I'm really most interested today is getting some important things across. And I'm going to cover some smaller things right now, significant, though, to know, and I'm going to do that right now. There's an alert that I've posted on stopthecrime.net. It's called U.S. Department of Defense. It's a release, a press release, dated May the 28th of 2020. It discusses how the Department of Defense, the U.S. Air Force Warfare Center, is to build a 5G network. It's going to be a mobile, in other words, a movable cellular tower network of 5G cellular networks, where they can literally erect these mobile devices within an hour, so very movable. And they're to incorporate human-machine interfaces, which go beyond simple graphic users. And interfaces, and many include audio, gestures, augmented reality devices, which will also stimulate touch and motion. And this prototype software is being deployed right now at Nellis Air Force Base in Nevada. And it's scheduled to be completed in about 6 months. And remember, we are the enemy. We are the enemy because when you look at all branches of the military, all levels of the corporate structure called the judiciary system, look at the Bar Association. They have all subscribed to sustainable development goals, which are genocide goals, based on only allowing what each person needs for vital existence. Anything beyond your vital needs is considered immoral. And soon, as a result of the COVID lockdown and the Trojan horse, this is one way we are seeing all of those goals that have been long sought for utter and complete control of each and every single one of us, not only physically, but of our minds as well. This is what we are seeing occurring now. I also want to bring to your attention, if you didn't know about this, I thought it was significant, the Department of Defense, again, the Department of Defense works for the global controllers. It is a Luciferian Department of Defense, again, subscribing to sustainable development goals, which, of course, has been behind all of the LED lights, which is causing massive eye diseases. We're anticipating millions of people with eye diseases at younger ages and losing eyesight. This is all part of a horrific plan. It's all real. So, again, this is an immediate release. The DoD awards a $138 million contract enabling pre-filled syringes for future COVID-19 vaccine. And this was a release on May 12th of 2020. And this was a statement attributed to Lieutenant Colonel Mike Andrews, the Department of Defense spokesman. And he says, quote, "Today the Department of Defense and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services announces a $138 million contract to APJECT, that's APIJECT Systems America, for Project Jumpstart and Rapid USA, which together will dramatically expand U.S. production and capability for domestically manufactured medical-grade injection devices starting in October of 2020. This is for the required COVID vaccinations that each and every one of you are going to be faced with because of Operation Warp Speed and the president's intention, and all your governors, all your local health departments, and in fact, all agencies in within your cities are going to be eager to reopen. And they're being told reopening is ultimately going to depend on finding a vaccine. So they're going to squeeze your cities, your businesses, the revenue, the inability to pay property taxes, collect rents, and increase homelessness and expenses on the city as they destroy the economies of every city worldwide. And people will be begging to go back to work and stop the plunge into the year 1750, which is where they're driving us with the sustainable development plans. So they'll force the vaccines up on us. We already know that that is the intention. And the again, the reason behind that will be, well, we can reopen if you'll get vaccinated. And of course, we understand that there's some deadly consequences behind the vaccines.
I have to update that because we are reopening, and this is already happening. In fact, most states are much further along than California and New York in this regard.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about what reopening is looking like. We're hearing that as we're reopening, there's a massive increase in COVID cases. And in fact, we have been told here in California that dependent on the increased caseloads in certain geographical locations, they will have to go back to complete lockdown. And they're already doing that. They have a new outbreak in China, in Beijing, and they've expanded their lockdowns, and residents are currently, as we speak, being rounded up. This is a wartime mode because of the new wave of COVID that has hit.
Yes, except this is false, and we know this is false. And what's going on in
China... Now, wait, when you say false, what are you saying is false?
What I'm saying is that that COVID is not a threat, and China's COVID is not a threat.
Of course, yes, that's absolutely so.
To us. In other words, China and being locked down and is probably a completely different strain of the disease anyway, but nonetheless... It could even be a completely different disease. In other words, the amount of lies that go on from that country, are so rampant. But one can understand that they are also not accepting Chinese in theory into various countries because of this type of thing. So all they're really doing is locking down their own people. Now, I understand there's a push, and there has been, even in the early days of the first wave, to talk about a second wave. And I understand that they're putting out that propaganda, but that's what it is. It is propaganda.
Absolutely.
And we don't have enough people dying in the first wave. The second wave is going to be as paltry as well, unless they decide to put something else out. And that's the key. So this is what we need to really watch is what exactly are they coming up with? And I have a number of theories on that, but I want you to go ahead with this. Thank you.
Yeah, I was just trying to cover some global highlights real quick, and then I wanted to launch into some COVID documents that will reveal what is really behind the illusion that we're getting sick from COVID, which, of course, as you just said, and I agree, Carrie, it is nothing more, as we've been told, than a cold or an influenza or a flu. They're requiring flu shots now in certain parts of the world in order to even try to entertain going back to work. So the lockdown, as I see it, is this, because this is what we see. The loosening up is the inability now to target individual mom-and-pop businesses, because we've just heard here on the news in Northern California that a small winery has now found more COVID cases. So now they're going to test, which the testing is DNA gathering for nefarious agendas down the road, and to certainly keep everybody in and out of forced isolation and or even worse, quarantining, which is going to then be followed up with laws and tracking devices. So if you breach your quarantine requirement, you will be tracked and you will become a terrorist. The virus and the war against COVID now is another war on terror, and it is going to massively decrease all government fiscal viabilities. We're being absolutely pummeled, and I'll get into that in a minute. But interesting to note, the news cycle today, talking about virtual Fed chair warns of significant uncertainty around the recovery. And they go, full extent is unknown. No, the full extent is really not unknown. When we talk in a moment or two about what the World Bank has planned and has sculpted and created, we know what the extent of this planned global reset is, because they have planned it and they knew just what was going to occur, and it is occurring. So they also go on to say in the current today's news cycle, and I'm not going to dwell on this, but I thought it was interesting, the House to vote to make D.C. the 51st state. Then I want to go on into another few short things. A study is saying that flushing toilets spreads the coronavirus. I don't know if many of you have noticed, if you try to go out and about, many of the locations where there are public toilet facilities are now closed. And now they're also saying that as a result of COVID, which is not real, we're going to have to start wearing protection over our eyes, because we can catch COVID now through our eyes as well. Again, in this news for the moment, Brazil is on the brink of a catastrophe. We know that. We know that we're watching a global, massive cascading into bankruptcy. And hundreds of Berlin households are now under quarantine. Canada and the U.S. border is to remain closed until, they say, July the 21st. And, of course, we all know that the border between Mexico and the United States is closed, too. That's the intention. This is a full lockdown and will ultimately lock down your cities and your inability to travel out of your cities and even your counties. You will need travel cards. And that will be dependent on whether you show proof of your COVID compliance, whether it's being the testing with some type of a Fizbit or smart application where they can track you, presumably, to verify your COVID status, or whether ultimately they come up with a vaccine and then it will show that you have also been vaccinated. They talk about how Norway is intending to end the tracing application over privacy concerns. Well, I find that to be interesting. I think this is good cop, bad cop, just like we were talking about the governors earlier and the city mayors. They play the good cop, bad cop to keep us in the illusion that there might be another direction taking place when, in fact, it's not. You also might all be interested in knowing that there's an America sick map. So if you go to the Drudge Report, you can click on that. You can also look at the World Sick Map, and I mean S-I-C-K, Sick Map. So it will show you the areas that have been targeted for decimation of the economies under the fear of COVID. And I will tell you, it is becoming dangerous to go out onto the streets and try not to wear a mask, because people are now taking photographs. It's ending up on local channels and Neighborhood Watch and so forth,
okay.
And on Neighborhood Watch.
But Deborah, you know, I have to interject here. As you know, I do believe that QAnon and Trump have, you know, a viable push against this sort of thing. Mandatory vaccines will not happen in the United States. And what happens in the rest of the world, we don't know. I can say that I go out without a mask, and I disobey the signs as well, just so you know, in various places. The only time I wear a mask is when they insist I wear a mask in order to go in somewhere that I have to, you know, buy groceries or whatever it happens to be. Restaurants are open. I mean, so there's what's on a document, and then there's what people actually do. And so there are two different things. And whether
let's talk about this, Carrie, because you are talking worst
case scenario, and you do acknowledge
Well, no,
that.
I'm not, because
right.
We live in California, Carrie, and they have passed a requirement for all school children to be vaccinated, whether you are in private or public school,
yes,
before you can enroll in school. Not a here. It is a fact. It's a reality. It's a document, and it is a fact.
Yes.
So
I'm talking about mass vaccination across the United States.
Yeah, that's a fact as well.
That
yeah,
is
that
not
will happen too.
Supposed to happen, according to Trump. Now, if he loses the election, that's another matter. But what we are seeing, you know, there's a deeper game going on here. So it has many levels. And there's your level that you're talking about. There's other levels to the game. And those have to do with...
Yes, there are many redundant systems. I agree with you.
You know, rebellion.
And I'm trying to explain...
Levels. Sure.
Yeah, I'm trying to explain, though, the intention
I
of
understand
what
that.
We see
I just
happening.
Want to make clear to people because, you know, it's important that we keep this discussion somewhat balanced, okay? It's important that I bring you on the show to talk about what you're finding, what their intentions are, but their intentions are not always going to be successful. And humanity
that's
our
true.
Future is not signed, sealed, and delivered in a negative sense, in my view. Now, some people may prefer that view. They may be convinced of that view, but there are plenty of others that are not. And there are good, you know, there's a very viable, good, positive, spiritual development of humanity that is ongoing and continuing in spite of all these challenges that we're faced with. So I just want,
well, I
just
agree.
For the purposes
yeah.
of our discussion and for people listening, I just want to balance that as I'm going to do from time to time. So go ahead and continue with this sort of onslaught of what they intend. And of course that's in
right.
the title.
Well, I'm going to talk about some facts now, not intentions. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And that's important to
okay,
understand.
Okay. Well, we'll decide whether they're facts or not. Okay.
Okay, well, then everybody can look it up and prove it for themselves.
In writing. What's in writing is what they intend.
Yeah,
what's happening is something that's real.
Now, let me go on, because I hear what you're saying, Carrie, but it's important for everybody that is listening to understand that there are facts, not intentions, but there are facts, and I'm going to name a few of those to you right now. The Center for Disease Control is a private, for-profit corporation doing business. And the Center for Disease Control is not a government advocacy organization, as we're all being told. These lockdowns are coming through a business, a corporation. And it's listed on Dun & Bradstreet, a fact. And it is headquartered in the state of Georgia, a fact. And the Center for Disease Control has tied into the pharmaceutical industry, a fact, and therefore the Center of Disease Control and their recommendations are influenced by their fiscal health of their corporation, which is centered around vaccinations. This is who Fauci has come from, and in fact, it's important to also note that each of our local public health offices and institutions are also private for-profit corporations, and they are doing business, and they're doing business on all of us. And the medical clinics that are involved with your local health agencies go to the state and public health departments with their information, which is a for-profit corporation, again, listed on Dun & Bradstreet, and they receive monetary compensation from the Center of Disease Control. And as I said, they're already listed on Dun & Bradstreet. So you have to conclude and know that a fact is that the state public health department's recommendations and actions are influenced by their fiscal health of their own corporation. And I was further surprised to find out that not only the EPA, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, but also the U.S. Public Health Service. The U.S. Public Health Service has structures of over 200 million Americans that have been drinking water injected with fluoride in the public water systems, a fact. So when we look at the intentionality of poisoning us into accepting a reality that is not real, we have to understand this has been a long-range goal of multi-layered activities upon the world's population. So I want to go into why the COVID is a Trojan horse, because number one, we know it doesn't make you sick. But we're also being told that our new going forward reality is 100% mask wearing, and how that will crush the ongoing surges. And I found this information in the Tribune News Service back on June the 12th of 2020. And they say that the new modeling in the study out of Cambridge and Greenwich universities suggest that face masks will need to be worn as the COVID continues, and they talk about as new outbreaks of the new coronavirus continue. They say to ward off resurgences and production, we have to wear masks, and the average number of people who will contract the virus will be infected if they don't wear masks. So they're saying that you're not protecting yourself by wearing a mask, but you're protecting someone else, which then outlines anyone that's not wearing a mask as a terrorist, and that is now what is happening. It's becoming quite dangerous. In fact, I have had personal experiences in trying to suggest that masks were not necessary, and I think we're going to see more violent responses to people that have been so mind-controlled into the fear of COVID, and certainly the fact that many of them may have lost their businesses. And they're recognizing that unless everybody wears a mask, they're being told they may not be able to recover what might be left of their business. When you consider that, well, I'll finish this article and then I'll say about the businesses. But they say that the scientists wrote about the requirement for mask wearing in the paper published just last week by the Proceedings of the Royal Society. And they say the masks don't have to be the top of the line surgical or respirator masks. Homemade coverings that catch only 50% of exhaled droplets would provide a population level benefit, they concluded in their report.
Right, again, but you recognize that Tribune is part of the cabal and is a fully
absolutely
paid member, so
absolutely
that is fully propaganda. So it's important to say and to acknowledge that it's propaganda.
Well, everything is propaganda. The Daily, as I said earlier,
scientists
in the program,
that
the
are
Daily
coming forward saying, you know, there's even a former Surgeon General now saying that mask wearing does nothing and is actually bad for you. So there is a counter.
It is bad.
I know it's bad.
No, I'm not. Carrie,
I'm saying,
wait a second.
It's propaganda.
I think you're misunderstanding me.
I'm not misunderstanding. I just want the audience to understand that.
And it is from Blue Shield of California, which is an insurance company. And the subject is Blue Shield of California is waiving member cost sharing for COVID-19 treatment. And they said through a certain period of time, they would waive the co-payments if you go in. And you have a co-payment for your insurance, and they will also waive certain deductibles as well for COVID-19 treatment. And they say there must be a specific diagnosis code that will be the only diagnosis code recognized for the treatment of COVID-19 on the member's claim in order to apply for the waiver to applicable co-payments and co-insurance and deductibles. Bottom line, the insurance companies are in cahoots with misdiagnosing the levels and numbers of COVID patients. That's a fact. And this is a letter that is dated April the 17th of 2020, and it is to doctors. So if the doctors, again, identify as a COVID patient. Now, we have 4 deaths that they're reporting here in Sonoma County due to COVID, and we have been hearing from some of the local EMPs here that one of those 4 deaths, they know, was a man who died in his hot tub. He drowned in his hot tub. So they're wondering, what is the reality of the other COVID deaths? Because we know you don't die from COVID.
Right.
Because COVID does not exist. And we also know that you don't need to wear masks because of COVID, because the masks are deadly. And now I've just heard that the United States has approved the acquisition of the N95 masks from China. What has China been doing to the United States forever? Poisoning baby food, paint on children's toys, drywall, so many products. Now think of the synthetic material of the COVID N95 facial masks that we're going to be receiving from China.
Well,
so,
I mean, let me just say to people, and thank you, that's very good, but let me say that you can wear a scarf. You do know, you can wear your own scarf, and you've just read a clause in one of those documents that states that, and Trump has said this on stage. So for people that are going to get paranoid, if they're stupid enough to buy a mask made in China, then, you know, let the buyer beware. But the bottom line is that you can wear, and I wear my own scarf. Hello. In fact, I wear a scarf like a Muslim woman as a statement against this whole fucking thing when I have to wear any kind of covering for my face. So, people need to be creative, all right? And I just want to encourage people, do not buy, you're not forced to buy a mask from China, but I appreciate you making us aware of that. Thank you.
Well, another thing that is a valuable opportunity for people, and something that I personally do, is when I am standing in my 6-foot forced isolation, that is, again, not a real requirement at all. It's just creating isolation and mental diseases and more. But as I am standing in my line that wraps around a building every 6 feet apart, I'll turn around and I will suggest to people that they're breathing in their carbon dioxide, which is a poison from their exhales that are not being allowed to, the exhale is being held against your mouth and you're breathing back in those poisons, the carbon dioxide. Also reduction of oxygen. So I am talking to people about that. It's not conspiracy. It doesn't come off at that. It comes off as I care about them. Did they know about this? They can look it up. And I'll recommend that people drop those masks right under their noses and go into the store that way. I have found less pushback, and people are hardly really noticing if the mask is just below the nose. And another opportunity.
Yeah, I think that rebellion should be encouraged in all cases. I also know that people, what I've noticed in stores and things, is that although they may stop you at the door and force you to wear your mask a certain, required way, once you're in the store, they are very hesitant to approach you and to tell you, oh, your mask has, been lowered or whatever the kind of thing. And I've actually walked into stores and my mask has fallen away and been able to just continue as I wish. And they don't approach you. They just allow you. I'm just saying, yes, you can push the envelope constantly. And I think it's an important act of civil disobedience to do so. And so, yes, I would encourage that. And I'm glad you're talking to people in line. I think that's a very worthwhile enterprise, although I'm not, because I think that most of those people are too stupid to realize what's really going on. I mean, if you're too stupid to know that breathing in your own carbon dioxide is bad for you, then I'm not sure you need to be, you're going to be convinced by being told that because you're too stupid to know it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I have not had that result, quite frankly. I have mentioned it to a number of people, and as a result,
and surprised.
They didn't realize it. They didn't think of it that way.
Incredible.
And so I have been in situations where an entire family will suddenly lower their masks as they chat amongst themselves with what I have just said. So I think that's an important first opportunity to get some information out that will at least save them for the short run.
Well,
and then they may question further.
And that's
the hope, is that they will question further. Because I have such an overload burden of compassion for people. I just can't see them being duped into not knowing. And if they drop their mask as a result of hearing that being said, then they do. If they don't, then that is also their choice. I agree. But I want to go on into what has been happening with the COVID testing action plan, because what we're going to find is massive increased surveillance, and I think we can agree that we're seeing cameras on all the street corners. We're seeing a massive deployment of the 5G small cells now in all the schools. In much of the road work that we're seeing being done while we are all hiding in our homes over something that doesn't exist is a massive sensor deployment on the roads. And I'm going to add this right now because I thought the parallel was interesting, Carrie, and you may find it as well. A number of years ago, my husband and I went to a salmon fish hatchery, and they released the salmon in the Russian River, which is right near Bohemian Grove, just geographically in Northern California, for those of you that may know where Bohemian Grove is. And they would do a small slit in these little fingerling coho salmons, and they would insert an RFID chip. And it was a very interesting process to watch. It was rather horrid to see these itty-bitty little fish having slits in these RFIDs crammed in there. But nonetheless, I asked him a question. I said, so now you've got the RFID chips in them. Where are you tracking and monitoring as these fish migrate? And they said, along the shores of the Russian River, they have hidden receivers and transponders. So I want everybody to think about that, because we know that the ultimate goal is, and again, I agree, Carrie, not all goals are met, but one of the goals is that we are all chipped, and many people already are anyway. But having said that, it will allow for closer monitoring, and as we are going to live, again, the intentions of the plans, again, not always going out to fruition, but the goals are is that we are going to be literally sequestered within a very small geographical area, which is all part of the Sustainable Development Goals. I'd like everybody to type in emergency climate action plans. Now here, if I type that in, you will see generic emergency plans. Let me explain what their emergency about the climate is in all the cities that have now adopted these emergency requirements and or that are soon to adopt them. And what the emergency climate plans action plans do, is it hastens all processes that would otherwise take time to go through your building departments for required housing changes, where you have to comply to energy reduction costs, and soon code enforcement will be coming house to house and giving you a list of requirements of retrofitting. And we're seeing that happening now during the sales of homes, certainly in Southern California. I know where apartment owners are being snagged in this, and it's adding tremendous cost to trying to sell or turn apartment buildings, which is causing an added problem to vacancy rates and homeless increases, et cetera, because many of these apartment owners don't have the kinds of monies to retrofit to the degree of the plans. But the climate emergency plans are set to reduce all travel. To eliminate the use, they say, of fossil fuels. Now, they say to eliminate car travel. Well, number one, we know that fossil fuels or petroleum never came from dead dinosaurs. So in all of the plans, when they talk about fossil fuels, you have to remember that that was a Rockefeller scheme to keep the oil prices such that they would make the enormous amounts of endless money that they have attained to become part of all this global policy that is besetting all of us now. It's all built upon lies, lies, and more lies. But the Climate Action Plan, again, eliminates idling, your car idling, and again, travel. All transportation is being eliminated. Living out in the wildlands-urban interface, again, I was saying earlier in the show, Carrie, that if you live outside your city growth boundary, you are considered unsustainable and sprawl. And what we're seeing here in Northern California is a real coastal process coming into play, and it's already in play actually, and it's a worldwide situation. It's called a planned retreat, and aka forced retreat. What does that mean? That means that people that are identified on coastal areas in low-lying areas are forced to relocate without remuneration for demolishing their homes before they leave. And so you can look up planned retreat. I have a YouTube video called Coastlines Under Attack. It's involving all branches of the military that are enforcing those particular policies. Again, not everybody is, of course, behind that, but the overall goal by many of the overlords or power mongers is to bring in sustainable development goals. And that also includes technocracy or technology, which is a totalitarian reality. In other words, total oppression through technologies. And that's what we're facing now with COVID. And I'm going to go over some of that in a bit here, Carrie, if I can stay on track. But we have to understand that the technologies, they're going to not recognize any limits to authority at all. And it's striving to regulate every aspect of public and private life, and without regard to life itself, because we certainly see the massive programs of eliminating and reducing housing and people dying on the streets and health diseases becoming more of a problem. And we're going to see more people falling out of housing as a result of COVID and their inability to sustain themselves. But the technologies that are rolling out and have already have controlled all of the media, as you said a little bit ago, Carrie, all the media is controlled. The politics, our economies, all speech, and the technologies engage in a widespread use of terror and mass surveillance. And that is what is occurring now as a result of the COVID lockdown and the false flag of that, the murderous event of this. And what we see is COVID also is masking increased frequencies. And in the larger population zones, of course, that is where much of the 5G deployment has already occurred. So we're seeing people becoming short of breath, because that is, of course, what increased frequencies do. And they cause, they're jamming our cellular communication systems within our cells of our body, and the uptake of oxygen is reduced. So we're seeing COVID symptoms that are really in line with the increased frequencies. And when we look at the new cruise ships, they're literally floating Wi-Fi hotspots, and everything is wireless on these ships, and we saw ships being detained with increased, presumably, COVID victims on these ships. It was frequencies. That's what it is, and that's the mask of the cover-up
right.
for COVID. While they bring in a totalitarian regime.
Okay, well, and that's very good. I do want to say that, so that people understand, that this is an increase in radiation, and what they're really seeing is radiation sickness, which has flu-like symptoms. So I think that a lot of people don't realize that's what we're dealing with here. I also want to say that as an intuitive, psychic intuitive, I know that at certain periods at night, I believe they are actually turning 5G on temporarily in certain cities and areas to sort of as a test for short periods of time, like bursts. And I think this is not being acknowledged. It's not, you know, commonly known, because it's not prolonged. It goes on for maybe 15 minutes to 30 minutes.
Well, actually, Carrie, we've documented that, actually, because of the equipment that we have. And we can go out at certain times, and we can find out that even the cell towers are pulsated, and increased frequencies generally are anywhere between 2 and 4 a.m., somewhere in there, so to interrupt our REM sleep, to cause sleep deprivation in many instances, which, of course, compromises our health.
Yes, absolutely.
So that has been being done for a long time.
And I do want to say that what I've noticed lately is that they're starting to do it at different hours than they used to. So it used to always be, as you say, between 2 and 5 in the morning. But now I'm noticing they're doing it on very odd hours. In other words, I'm noticing they're doing it later, like at 10 in the morning, or they're doing it at, you know, in the evening at 9 at night. In other words, they're starting to stagger it and to do different tests. So I just want to say to people that are sensitive to this sort of thing, they may be picking this up as I am.
Absolutely, and we know that overall, on a worldwide basis, frequencies in general are increasing, certainly also now because of the satellites that can beam weapons systems on us. And we've talked about that extensively, how Solaren, S-O-L-A-R-E-N, and I have other YouTubes up on Stop the Crime, video YouTubes up, where you can watch the massive amounts of monies being poured into the directed energy weapons systems based on satellites by Rothschild. And we discovered that quite some time ago, during, I think, 2015, when I released that video, The Plan to Burn Up Northern California, when we discovered the plan to burn up Northern California, and now the subsequent plans to continuous burning up of areas and expanding those areas. But I want to talk about what we're seeing occurring in our communities right now under the action plan via the Rockefeller Institute. And I'm specifically talking about the National COVID-19 Testing Action Plan, Pragmatic Steps to Reopen Our Workplaces and Our Communities. And this is the Rockefeller Foundation. And this action plan was released on April 21st of 2020. And it's very important to understand what we see happening and how it's already in the plan. So one of those things that we're seeing occurring is they're massively expanding COVID testing. And they talk about the requirements to increase tests so that everyone is tested for COVID on a regular basis. And they talk about that they have to invest in public-private testing technology accelerator to further grow the U.S. testing capacity from 3 million to 30 million per week within 6 months. And they talk about the powers of the Defense Production Act that will need to be invoked given the inherent commercial uncertainties in the tenfold production increase. And so that's what we have seen occur recently with the rapid testing allowed by the current administration, or I should say USA Inc., controlled by the bankers and other powers. But the COVID network for COVID-19 testing, we are now all seeing expand in our communities. They will be hiring healthcare corps, and those healthcare corps will not only be folks within your community that are from AmeriCorps or from the Peace Corps, realizing that many that were involved in the Peace Corps, nearly 7,000, they tell us, have been returned to the United States when the borders have been consistently closed, and they're continuing to expand that, of course. But how these people will be hired as testing groups for all of us, and that they will be maintained in our communities on an ongoing basis. So again, step two in this plan is to launch a COVID community health care course for testing and contact tracing. And they say that they're talking about the preparation of samples and analysis of testing and contact tracing, which will require a massive amount of manpower. Federal, state, and local hiring authorities will be funding with block grants. Now, remember, grants are increasing our debt. So we have Rockefeller coming in and creating plans to massively increase our debt and further plummet us into a world of bankruptcy. And I want to just say, Carrie, because I haven't mentioned this yet, but on StopTheCrime.net, I did go through in much detail one of the Rockefeller Foundation documents that was the pre-planning and the scenario planning for the entire COVID and what it showed that the COVID would then cause. And that YouTube is called COVID Lockdown Global Bankruptcy, a Plan. And there are many aspects to the lockdown since we know it's all fake. We don't have COVID. So then you have to ask, well, what are they doing? And that's what we're trying to convey, or that's what I'm trying to convey right now, what they're doing according to their plans. And what's interesting is what has been occurring is in the plans. And so it'll be interesting to watch how successful they are with bringing in the plans to fruition as they plan. But they say in this plan, whenever possible, incentives should be used to nudge the voluntary use of applications rather than requiring them. So we talk about all of the types of applications that employees are going to be required to put on their cell phones so that they can be monitored constantly, so they're being told. And they're saying that policymakers and the public must find the balance between privacy concerns and infectious controls when we have been told it's a pandemic. So they're talking about waiving all HIPAA laws because what they're claiming is that we need a centralized data testing processing center where individuals can be identified as being COVID or however they want to identify these people, and that real-time analysis for disease tracing results will be required, and that it will have to be a collection of all medical records and all the tests and all of the illnesses that people have had in the past. Another thing that I found very disturbing, to say the least, was the fact that they were saying that the COVID testing PPE, the personal protective equipment, will have to be distributed and only made available on a hierarchy level. In other words, first responders, essential workers will be the first to be tested. If people are already ill and in the hospital, they will not get the testing because they're already ill. So what we're seeing is already increased intentions for people to be isolated in the hospitals where their loved ones can't visit them, and then they're dying alone. And we've been hearing stories about that. In fact, I know people right now that would like to have their older family member go to the hospital for a checkup, but they know that it's likely that they would be deemed COVID, and then they would be on an isolated lockdown, unable to see their family members. We're seeing that in senior care facilities right now, too. A good way to dismantle the true history or the opportunity for the young folks to actually listen, if they would, to what the older folks have to say about what this reality might look like, because we're certainly seeing the use of bioweapons unfolding, as we have been told in much of the information that I've covered over the years. But again, as I said, we're seeing drive-through clinics and testing programs and how all of this is to be expanded. And again, they say this word for word in the document, among the last on the priority list should be hospitalized patients. And they say refusing to test most desperately ill will be difficult for family members and others to accept, but it is the right course. And that's the words on page 15 of this document, so that you can go right to that and see that for yourself. But they go on to say that all of this is going to continue through consensus groups of national and state and businesses and academia leaders on the use of testing for workplace monitoring and early detection of COVID reoccurrences. And so this is life with COVID. And they say an overreaching analysis of the testing supply chain, both in the United States and globally, will have to be undertaken immediately. So what we're hearing with the word consensus, and any time you read that word in any document, you must understand that this is a predetermined plan that has already been created, that they have people believing that they can have advisory meetings and create plans when, in fact, they have hired consultants that lead the meetings, lead the questions, and lead the compilation of what the people that are attending these meetings believe that they have put into these new requirements. It's all created from a facade, and it came through the Tavistock Institute in England and through then the RAND Corporation in the United States. And, of course, colleges do consensus planning. Your local cities and county boards of supervisors are all based on that because every single city and are all incorporated. So they're doing corporate business and not business for the people. That's most important also to understand. But they say they have to grow the U.S. testing capacity up to about 3 million a week, as I said earlier, and that's Operation Warp Speed. They're telling us also, Carrie, in these documents that they want to have a human-centered approach to administering these tests and contact tracings. And they know it's labor-intensive, but it does not require special skills or training. And they're saying that you can learn how to become a contact tracer, and you can earn up to about $40,000 a year with health and other benefits as well. They say that a workforce can be used to provide other services, such as providing meals on wheels or other necessary assistance. So what we have is we have a contact tracing being set up that is a Stasi operation because it's not about COVID. So when you consider that COVID doesn't exist, then why are you being traced, tracked, monitored? And why are you being locked down in your homes or in your communities? And why will you have travel bans? It's all because they're meeting the sustainability goals. And those goals are to plummet industry and the world back to the year 1750. Imagine yourself in the year 1750, where we have social justice, shared equity, no prosperity, no haves or have-nots. Everything is equalized. Those are the goals. And whether they get there or not, of course, remains to be seen. But as you see the invention of COVID and the ability to lock us down within a couple of months worldwide, you can imagine the network that's in place in every city, in every town, in every county, everywhere, a massive, massive network. So I want to say that they tell us that the skills needed for both testing, administration, and contact tracing are not specialized, and training can be provided virtually through the CDC. Now, I told you earlier, the CDC is a corporation listed on Dun & Bradstreet doing business, and they're going to virtually provide training for contract testers of COVID, which COVID doesn't exist. But it says the CDC and their partner organizations, such as the National Network of the STD Clinical Prevention Training Centers and public health schools and companies. So they're sequestering a massive Stasi operation to track, monitor, isolate, quarantine as you have a revolving door, and then you'll be forced to order your food because you won't be able to go and get your food. And then, of course, we know that the intention is to only distribute the amount of calories based on your social credit score. And, of course, we know that reducing substandard amounts of quantity is going to create a society that's easily controlled because people are becoming so emaciated that there is no more opposition. And they go on to say that some privacy concerns have to be set aside for the infectious agent as virulent as COVID-19. Again, as virulent as something that doesn't exist. All privacy concerns have to be set aside. That is the goal. That is absolutely the goal. So, again, it's going to be based on your social credit score. But they talk about, again, the various agencies that they will be hiring to speed the testing, and, again, the Peace Corps, volunteers who were forced to return from their posts earlier on in this lockdown, also limited in number. There are about 7,000 of them. They talk about the Corporation for National and Community Service, the federal agency that oversees AmeriCorps, the Senior Corps, and the Volunteer General Fund could be used also for hiring. And the National Guard can fill in the gaps. The military, of course, then, they just said, will fill in the gaps for testing. And nonprofits can provide volunteers. So we have to look at the enormity of the plans being rolled out upon us right now, and we can actually see that happening. And they go on to tell us that the infectious database must easily interoperate with the doctor, hospital, insurance, health records, and it is essential and urgent. It's a national program to finally rationalize and sometimes they say that some people deliberately misuse electronics about their medical records, and that they'll have to find those that violate those medical standards, because everything is going to become transparent. They also are telling us that, unfortunately, obtaining the necessary clinical data to bring these powerful analytic tools to bear has been difficult due to the information blocking tactics of electronic health records and other vendors. And they go on to say, among the long-time tactics used for such vendors have been charging unreasonable fees. And then they say on March 9th, the Department of Health and Human Services, again a corporation doing business, I added that, released two long-awaited final rules that would prohibit information blocking in healthcare and advance more seamless exchange of your private healthcare data. That is what is occurring now. Access to everything about you. They will know every move you make, every breath you take, and that is the goal. And they go on to say that.
Now, along these lines, Deborah, what I want to talk about here is, are you familiar with the AI side of this? And I understand that that's not
Absolutely.
Your area of expertise, but have you looked into the
I
fact
am familiar.
That this is, these goals are going to be brought about through the activity of AI, and that's a very important component. So just wondering if you're, doing any investigation on that score.
Yes, well, actually, let me tell you what this document says about AI so that everybody can see this for themselves. On page 23, it says, promising techniques include digital tracking of workforces and population-based resting heart rate and smart thermometer trends, continually updated epidemiological data modeling, and artificial intelligence projections based on clinical and imaging data. And they go, digital health records and insurance data claims will be used to improve COVID-19 diagnoses and treatments. And again, they talk about the use of AI. So yes, we understand the use of AI on many levels. In fact, many of you may be interested to know that there was an executive order promoting the fast opportunity for AI to be delivered to the United States, as there also was an executive order in 2018 to promote the accelerated deployment of 5G throughout the United States, including over Indian tribal lands, which in many instances is a violation. And what we're seeing now while we are all hiding in our homes is the telecom madly going through the schools and deploying 5G. We're seeing that in the Hispanic community here in Santa Rosa, California. And one of the interesting and most recent terms is racial COVID. They're saying that the Latinx, which means the younger Latinos, are really a vector for COVID and the Latin population, because they're saying that the testing percentages of those testing positive for COVID here in the Latin community is a higher rate than other ethnic groups. Now, I will tell you, some of those that live in the Latino neighborhoods are seeing overhead spraying from helicopters and low-flying planes on their communities, because we know COVID doesn't exist. And I'll never forget, Carrie, in my early days of being on the radio with Dr. Stan Monteef, who hosted Radio Liberty, and I know you know Dr. Stan or knew him, he once told me that they are intentionally poisoning the water supply in low-income communities, and particularly Black and Hispanic communities. So as we look at this racial disparity that we're seeing, we need to, of course, impart that information on these people so that they understand the enormity of the ways in which they are being disadvantaged and certainly
right.
compromised.
Well, let me say that years ago I interviewed Perry Vila and in Spain, and he didn't speak English, so we had to translate it. But at any rate, he was somebody who studied the Templar sort of societies and their plans, etc. And what happens is that cities were built and have been built since that time to put poor people, the water systems of poor people, in a degraded state, and to put in what they call right angles in the pipelines. And what that does is it lowers the efficacy of the water. It lowers the nutritional, natural healing abilities of the water, because it's been degraded. And so there are ways of you know, reversing that. But in essence, you have to take the water and do the spin and spin it for quite a while, and obviously purify it and put it through purifiers, etc. But unfortunately, people don't know this. So churches and wealthy neighborhoods are already built on better water systems. So this goes back much further than what we're talking about here.
It's, well, you know what I found interesting? Speaking about water supplies, there's a wealthy area in Southern California called San Marino. It abuts Pasadena, where many of you may have watched the Rose Bowl parade for years. Anyway, it abuts Pasadena. That water supply has been fluoridated for a very long while. So have many communities. In fact, you can check to see if your area is fluoridated. What we're finding now is the mass broadening use of toxins and chemicals on all ethnic groups, not just now solely targeting socioeconomically, as they call, deprived or underemployed people. We're all being managed now and being dosed with types of poisons and toxins that most people are unaware of. And that's where I'll state right now, go to primarywater.org and understand the true origins of water. Water is a renewable, and it comes clean and fresh as new water coming up from below the mantle of the earth. And there are known higher IQs of areas that are accessing primary water. And I won't go into a lot of that conversation right now, because I want to continue talking about where we currently are and where we're going. And we're heading into a global reset, and it's a reset that literally discards all legacy systems. And what is meant by that? Well, we're heading into a digitization of all businesses and governments, and I'm going to go over that as we are told by the World Bank, which of course is the major money supply. But I want to just say there's quite a bit I did not cover in this document that I was referring to about COVID, and I'm going to give you the name of this document again so that you can go through it for yourselves. It is the Rockefeller Foundation document released on April 21st of 2020, and it's called the National COVID-19 Testing Action Plan. and there are horrific requirements to change your life forever and to keep you in a COVID lifestyle where you are just continuously out of isolation or self-imposed quarantine. And I want to say this, that if there are parents that have a small child and both of those parents are deemed to have tested positive for COVID, which again doesn't exist, advocacy groups for children, which is of course involved in a lot of child theft, will take that child and put them in foster care until the parents are well. They will take your child. And if, in fact, you are tested positive for COVID, one person in the family, because they're saying now that we're spreading COVID within our homes, within our families, and dependent on the square footage of the interior of your home, you may not be able to self-isolate from the rest of your family members, and they will have to relocate you to a humane location, as they put you into forced quarantine over something that doesn't exist. So understand, this is what the goals are, this is what the plans are, and many people, sadly, as you were saying earlier, Carrie, that are wearing the masks, that are dangerous and deadly in some instances. In fact, the EMTs here in Northern California have been picking people up off the ground that have been passing out and fainting because they're wearing these masks. And for the older population, which they want to get rid of anyway, it's a perfect additional way in which to cause illness and put these folks in the hospital then where they're isolated from their families and dealt with as they may, which
sure.
is what is occurring. But I want to go over what we're being told about the global economy and the intentionality of causing global bankruptcy, which is the intention. They're telling us in the World Bank that the global economy has been hit by the deepest recession in over 80 years, and that's despite the massive stimulus measures that have been taking place. And they talk about how the coronavirus pandemic has resulted in a collapse of global economic activity. And again, despite the enormous stimulus, now we have to understand that because COVID doesn't exist and because stimulus has been massive, in the trillions has been given for COVID, we have to understand that this is being literally expended on things that are unnecessary, such as all this PPE, all of the creation of plexiglass now that you see between bank tellers when you can make an appointment and get into the bank, or your grocery stores, all the tape that is now being used on the floors. All of this is part of the slow collapse while you're being fed the idea that this is all for your safety. So they go on to tell us that despite these unprecedented economic stimulus measures that have been being made by governments, that many of the developing economies, the pandemic-fueled global recessions, will be the deepest for them since World War II. So it's important to understand they're tracking the disruption and the dismantlement of global economies.
Okay, now,
and,
Deborah, along those lines, because I think some of this is very well known at this point, at least by my audience, what I want to ask you is whether or not you understand exactly what the reset will entail. So, in other words, since this has begun, I have been questioning people about this and have had back channel information that this reset was going to be rolled out along with this COVID lockdown. However, it seems to be quite slow in coming. So what I'm wondering is, do you have any information or have you come across any information about how it's going to play out, the exact nuts and
bolts
of the reset?
Yes. The reset is literally going to be based on rapid expansion of unlocking technologies. And there are information specifically about that. how the unlocking technologies for global goals. And when you look at what the definition of global goals is in this information about the reset, again, it goes back to sustainable development. And you understand that all of the new unlocking technology is going to be literally used to dissolve all of us. The AI organizations involved, they talk about AI consult at AIorganization.com, and that we, of course, are certainly in massive danger. But when you talk about the reset, the reset's going to be based on dismantling the current system. And dismantling the current system is collapsing travel, collapsing all transportation. In fact, one aspect of transportation, and we've all been hearing about unmanned vehicles, this is interesting and is worth noting. There are many corporations that are creating replacement for truckers and the transportation of goods across all countries. And because of COVID, they're saying that these truckers, as humans sitting in a truck, are going to become more difficult to cross borders. Governments won't allow humans to cross borders. So this is going to push the unmanned transport business of taking people out of cars, and we'll have cars that are literally autonomous vehicles. We've been hearing that as part of the smart city setup based on AI and 5G, and then autonomous vehicles and computer vision cameras. Again, the tracking and monitoring theme coming back years ago. But again, when we look at the global reset, it is profound. It's absolutely profound. And I think that these documents describe in many ways what this global reset is intended to look like. And the Sustainable Development Goals have always described that. Far fewer people, massive depopulation, massive. And again, the use of any resources that is beyond vital life support is considered immoral. So you take the global reset from those primary goals that they have in mind. Again, not that they'll reach every goal that they put out there, but we can see that this is where we know this is going, and where we can see dribbles of it occurring. Well, not dribbles, massive amounts of this occurring. And again, when I've looked at some of the climate change documents over the years, which I have looked at thousands, and I look at the climate change and health effects that they're claiming will happen because of climate change being the result of too many people using too much stuff rather than the reality of weather weapons and the geoengineering, which of course is the large-scale intentional alteration of the world's weather. In these documents, In these documents, an example out of one of the documents is the climate change health effects, and this would link right into COVID. They say that there's one list about climate change effects, and then there's another list, examples of human health risks. So I'll just go over that so people can understand how this has been shaped and why COVID is now in play, which doesn't exist, because climate change with too many people doesn't exist. Again, that is intentional weather alteration for death and disintegrating towns and cities. We know that. But it says climate change effects increase in extreme heat events. And then they say that there will be heat-related illnesses and death, worsening of chronic health conditions. Again, they will be heating up the environment, and they are. They talk about how there will be increased air pollution, which will increase respiratory illnesses and seasonal allergies, and that's happening. Talk about floods and droughts and wildfires and storms and changes in weather patterns. Yes, the increased use of weather weapons, and that will cause injury and death and respiratory illnesses because of smoke and more, and waterborne illnesses and bloodborne illnesses and displacement. We're talking about massive displacement and stress-related disorders. Yes, absolutely. Mental health impacts and increases in shifts in infectious diseases. So this is all being orchestrated, created, and implemented. They talk about higher food prices, and we're going to see food scarcity as a result of the lack of transportation and the intentional reduction of the supply chains. We're seeing that occurring already. And they say there will be increased hunger and decreased nutrition as a result. So what we're seeing is the Sustainable Development Climate Action Plans now exponentially being brought forth through the Trojan horse of COVID. They go on to talk about that there will be storm surge, and we talk about that. There are technologies that increase storm surges. The blast wave accelerator was what we discovered that was being put together by the United States and Auckland just during World War II, which was planned to be used against the low-lying coastal regions of Japan had either one of the two bombs not detonated. So they have been using the blast wave accelerator, which increases tidal surges, for massive shore erosion, and for also now telling us that as of shore erosion and sea level rise, that people in the low-lying areas of the coastal regions worldwide must relocate. And you will find that occurring now. If you type in planned retreat, you'll find that this is a global operation and that the militaries, all branches of the militaries, are already either hardening up if they exist in low-lying coastal areas that they're going to use weapons on, or they are actually relocating to higher ground. And that's what I've been discussing in many of the recent videos that you'll see on StopTheCrime.net. Again, all military documents that describe this. And are you hearing on the controlled media that all the military, all branches of the military are relocating their operations from low-lying areas to higher ground? No, you're not. But yet their documents and what is happening is happening. So we have to know these things.
Well,
we have
to
know
that we've been aware of this for a while, and also the idea has been to roll out the military. They are in position in cities even now, and were rolled out at the very beginning of the COVID sort of first wave during February and March, and we reported on those troop movements. So they're not needing to move troops as much because they already did so right in plain sight. And then they simply told them to sit tight, so to speak. And so this is also true of the troops. And of course, there are reasons of why they're going to raise the sea level. There's very possibly going to be melting of the icebergs purposely. This is man-made, and so
right.
You know, in Antarctica and so on. So we have been aware of that. I can tell you that I recently had a premonition that there's going to be two major earthquakes, if my premonition is correct, in the San Luis Obispo area, which I believe is low-lying. And these, again, would be triggered, I was shown, and also in Northern California. Now, eventually, of course, Southern California will be hit as well. It's worth noting
that
there are some weapons that they, because they haven't, none of this, as much as diabolical as it sounds, in my view, they haven't been successful enough at their plans, and the number of people required, the number of people. And so there is reason to believe that before this election, because a lot of this, you know, the point of view is that it is an attack on Trump and to get him out of office. So they must make him look bad. So it's very possible some of these weather weapons will be deployed in the next, you know, few months before the election.
Well, they're being deployed right now, and they are being deployed on a daily basis.
Yes, of course they are. But I'm talking
worldwide about
some major events in the United States that will turn, in other words, turn emergency situations so that they can.
Oh, we're going to have ongoing crises.
You know, so
let me talk about the premonition that you said about an earthquake. There is a nuclear facility called Diablo, which means devil, and it is just south of San Francisco, and that is to be decommissioned in the year 2025. And the reason is for the decommissioning is they discovered after they built this that it is on an extremely large fault. And I can tell you right now that many of the utility purveyors here in California are purchasing energy that is being produced by the soon-to-fail nuclear site with massive consequences as part of their undisclosed energy for renewable clean power.
Okay, now can I just break in here because I just looked it up really quickly. As it happens, it's in San Luis Obispo County where I was just saying I had the premonition for. So that's just...
That's why I added that, Carrie.
Yeah, San Luis Obispo.
Yeah, that's why I added that. Yeah, and I found that they're doing, you said earlier also about radiation increases as one of the redundant systems being used. They intentionally release radiation frequently from these sites into the atmosphere. That's a known fact as well. But and the site is, interestingly enough, operated by Rothschild, which is PG&E. And PG&E also built the Lake Mead Hoover Dam. The lake, and then of course the Hoover Dam, which is a reservoir and a large dam. And prior to that being constructed, there were never earthquakes in that area. And then after, there were many, many earthquakes. In fact, we have looked at the displacement of water as it's collected into these reservoirs and then held back by dams. And we can certainly consider the Oroville Dam here in Central California that just about failed in 2017. The spillway just about went. These dams are going and are being used as a weapons system. And why is that? Because for several reasons. Number one, we never needed to move our drinking water around through a dam collection system of the secondary water supply, which is rain and snowmelt. We could have done what Muammar Gaddafi and many other areas in the world have done in the past many, many centuries, and that's simply to bring up primary water and disperse that by a well system. And that's what was blown up in Libya when the United States and NATO blew up Libya, was the Great Man-Made River Project. And again, go to primarywater.org to understand how they were trying to eliminate the understanding of where water really comes from. So we look at the fact that the dams are going to be used as weapons. They already cause earthquakes. The reason for the earthquakes, and they know this, is that it creates impoundment. So as the dams fill up with water in the rainy season and then release during the summer, that's causing geological stress on the material down below and shifting. And they know this. The scientists know this. So when you look at large communities that are downslope of these reservoirs and dams, and they know that the dams cause earthquakes on the onset, and then now they're telling us that our infrastructure is failing because it was built prior to engineers understanding that there needed to be other types of design into these structures, and now they're antiquated and the infrastructures are failing. And then we're hearing that we're going to have increased climate change activity, weather weapons being used to target all of these failing systems. I want to say this because there's so much I'd like to cover, but I am looking at the time, Carrie. And I want to suggest to everybody to have a power outage party. And what do I mean by that? Tape all of the light switches in your homes so that you can't inadvertently turn your power on. And live in your home for a couple of days without power. Create a list of things you are going to need, as we are being certainly going to see many more power shutdowns. Now, they call the power shutdowns here in California public safety power shutoffs, PSPS, public safety power shutoffs. We had many last year during the fires that they are intentionally setting, and it's important to know that most Americans and most people worldwide are unaware of how the prolonged grid disruptions will occur, and that what will occur as we have power outages. And we've seen many, many societal breakdowns where there's increased looting and rioting. New York is one. Certainly the riots in Southern California back in the time when I was there, and there were the Rodney King riots, there were mass power outages as well, turns into anarchy on the street. And the longer that the outages persist, the more chaotic and dangerous the streets will be. And I have a video up called Lights Out, More Power Shutdowns Planned. Well, I will tell you that was taken down by YouTube. And I think I have it up there called Please Watch This While You Can Before YouTube Takes It Down Again. And understand that we're being tricked into the use of renewable energy sources for electricity and fuel only, and taken off of the traditional fuel sources such as hydro, which is now being taken down. They're taking down some of the dams to eliminate the use of downflow water, to keep those people in an illusion that removing these dams eliminates the water. Again, impoundment and creating reservoirs and dams, fake lakes make quakes is what I like to call it, is an illusion of where our water comes from. So actually taking out the dams and reservoirs, if you could get to primary water, would be a safer bet. But they go on to say that, you know, we know that the U.S. power grid is vulnerable and dangerously outdated. And that's what we face. I have a video up called EMP. It will not be an electromagnetic pulse that will necessarily take down the power grid in the United States. But it's important to know that the grid has been aging. It hasn't been brought up to current requirements. It's been deliberately allowed to degrade over many, many decades. And few people really know the real story on how the grid is going to be used to hold the country hostage. And it's not in the too distant future, I have to say, because we have been experiencing grid shutdowns. Now, it's interesting to note this, Carrie. We heard through the Senator Mike McGuire in California that their meetings with PG&E, which is Rothschild, PG&E said there would not be as many power outages this coming year, that there would be 33% fewer outages. Now, you can think about 33% fewer outages when they cause them anyway, create the fires and the reasons behind the power outages, the planned reduction of access. And I can only tell you, the power outage party, keep a notepad with you, write down the things you need. We thought we were prepared when we were in the fires of October and November of 2017. We had generators. We had access to water. We had ways in which to keep our refrigeration going, etc. But the temperatures in the mornings were near freezing, and we could not access heat. And we discovered that there is a propane interior heater. Now, I never realized that propane could be used inside in a special heater. Make sure that you find out that it is an interior heater. It's called the Little Buddy or something like that. But we were very cold, and once we got a hold of those, I think they were about $55, that was able to be moved around to some of the smaller rooms so that we weren't so cold. So keep in mind, prepare for multiple days of power outages. That is planned. The U.S. grid is vulnerable and dangerously outdated intentionally.
And the power grid is, of course, a utility grid run by Rothschild. And we face the multi-year blackout possibilities in many areas. And this would be a way in which to force relocation off of areas where they don't want people residing. This is just another layered reality that we all face, and we're not prepared. Most people are not prepared for the catastrophe that will result in a massive power outage. But certainly we're already seeing that. We had storms 2 weeks ago that took out hundreds of thousands of people in the heartland of the United States. And we just have to prepare for this. And while we know that we face many obstacles, again, I think for many, Carrie, hardening up where you can, getting, again, the flashlights, the batteries, the generators, the extension cords, ways in which you can try to fend fires. We have a YouTube up on StopTheCrime.net. It's entitled, I think, Power Outages and Fires, and it's a conversation with a 30-year retired fire captain. And interesting, Carrie, that we had that conversation and posted it only 2 weeks before the Kincaid fire last year in October, November. So preparation and the sense of preparing where you can, I think, emboldens people's reality of the various things that we face. And being prepared is a responsible thing to do. I think we're going to have to look at all the alternatives that we can to be more self-reliant. And that's emboldening. No matter where the reality ends up going, wherever the PSYOPs takes us, to be independent as possible will serve all of us better, to be responsible for ourselves and not be so reliant upon what is being served us, because what is being served us is a massive annihilation of the human reality, and we're being transitioned into cyborgs and robots and the transhumanism agenda, which we can talk about sometime too, Carrie. So I know that we're probably at the end of the show for sure, and I just want everyone to go to stopthecrime.net, subscribe, and push the tap the bell notification, and you'll receive our information. And also go to primarywater.org, share that information far and wide, because now they have deployed wireless smart water meters so that water can be allocated if you are on a city municipal water supply, and that will be rationed, such as food will be rationed, and electricity will be rationed. And one final note is, with the current application of solar panels and battery backup, everyone must understand that on January 1st of 2020, all new construction in California was required to have solar panels. Well, the powers that be recognize that when the power's out, solar panels are not operating. You're not generating power. You have to have a backup battery supply in order to capture the solar energy when night falls. And so they're no longer incentivizing, as they were originally, all the solar panels. Now they're incentivizing batteries. And on the front page of our paper, they talked about the millions upon millions of dollars that they will be using to incentivize people deploying battery backups. Now, I want to say this. The battery backups are tied to the grid. They have smart meters, and they tie in to the Internet of Things. We have been told that should there be a local emergency, and we're all going to be in continuous local emergencies, that critical infrastructure will supersede your individual usage of your system that you paid for in your home. And they will sequester between the meter and your home your power. Now, PG&E and AK Rothschild and the other utilities across this country are incentivizing people to put in the battery backup that they can then utilize by having you sign, I think it's over a 120-page contract, where your utility can then utilize your stored power up to 2 times a month at any time they want. So if you believe that you are off-grid and you are tied into lithium-ion batteries or the Tesla power walls, you are not. You're tied into the smart meter. You're tied into the Internet of Things. And even if you haven't signed an agreement for your utility to sequester your stored-up electricity, they will take it. And that's under an executive order, and I've covered that in other shows in more detail. But I wanted to shout out that because I think people will be frightened into considering solar and battery backup as they experience more power outages. Certainly that's what we're seeing here in Sonoma County because we experience many power outages, and it also degrades all your computer systems. The county experienced millions of dollars of lost equipment, computer equipment, because of the outages. And, of course, refrigeration, people lost refrigeration. So I can only say be very wary and of the future power outages. This is going to become a major issue in the United States and worldwide as well.
All right. So, well, thank you, Deborah, very much,
Carrie,
for all of that. I have to say just one point that Janet Reno, when she resigned, made a speech. She used to be head of the Department of Homeland Security. And when she resigned, she said, not if, but there will be an EMP in the United States, in essence, over the United States. And we have had testimony from our witnesses that there will be an EMP over the United States. So there is a plan to at least possibly do this, and that it will be obviously blamed on another country. It'll be part of a war type effort that has to do with whether it'll be Iran or China or some other so-called culprit. We do know that there we have evidence that North Korea has been triggering earthquake weapons here in the United States. So I've done some interviews on that subject. But just wanted to make that footnote. So whether or not it actually comes to pass, I don't know. But she said this. She made a point of saying that it would happen, according to her. So that's that very interesting in terms of looking at the future and things that they might pull out of the hat in order to accomplish things that aren't moving quite as fast as they'd like. So there's no doubt that all of the documents that you read from and have investigated is very valuable to know their plans. One must know one's enemy, certainly. So thank you again, Deborah, for being on the show, and hope we can do this again sometime in the future and see where things are at.
Thank you so much, Carrie. Be safe, everybody, and start preparing. Start hardening up in any way that you can.
Okay, very good. So if you stand by 1 second, I will hang up this phone and just want to let people know that tomorrow I am being interviewed again by Jean-Claude, and he's from Beyond Mystic, and he will be interviewing me about Kundalini and Ascension. So that's activating your Kundalini. And that will be tomorrow, I believe, at 2 p.m. Pacific time, if I have the time right. And then on, on Friday, I am being interviewed as part of the Rama Festival. And I put out a sort of flyer for that. This is a spiritual festival associated with an organization that is involved with a lot of yoga types of things, and is hosted by Guru Jagat. And Guru Jagat is going to be interviewing me, is it on Friday? And I think it's Friday around 4, might be 4:30. So hold up 1 second. Okay, hold on 1 second. Hi, Deborah. We're still on the air, just doing some wrap-up comments. Did you have something to add? Yes, yes, I am wrapping up. I'll call you back if you'd like, okay? Yeah, you're back on the line. I thought, you know, we did let you go. Okay. All right. Very good. Take care. Bye-bye. Okay. So, anyway, thanks for watching and listening as always. And please do subscribe. This video will now be taken off of YouTube. Please understand. Because of YouTube censorship, I have had to create what is in essence a subscriber base on my website, which is projectcamelotportal.com or projectcamelot.tv or projectcamelot.org. And so you need to go there, subscribe, and join us. And you can go to the top of this. I can show you what it looks like. So this is our website. At the top, you'll see buttons. Actually, they've been made red, so you can notice them more since this photo was taken. And in essence, you hit join us if you want to join us. Also, if you already are a subscriber and you want to log in, some people have some logistical issues with figuring that out. So it's at the top of our website under the menu section. And so that is very vital, and it's a very low cost, $3 a month if you do a year, and $4 if you do quarters, and $5 a month if you want to just do month to month. So it's as reasonable as we could possibly make it. And I want to thank everyone who has subscribed, and please encourage everyone who is not subscribed to be aware. I did try to, I was supposed to be able to reapply to re-monetize my channel, but they have refused me. So this is going to be the state of affairs. This interview, I can guarantee you, would have been taken down by YouTube anyway, because they don't want to hear any of this sort of thing put out there. So just be aware that we are under a lot of sort of duress in terms of YouTube. We're trying to keep our channel going. The free library on there of over 800 videos is still free and will continue to be. However, all new productions such as this one are going under the subscriber block, and you can access it. It will be a couple of hours. It takes hours to download it and then re-upload it to get it online again, so that people that are subscribing can watch it. But thank you again for watching and for supporting us, and for the people that have donated lately. Thank you as well for that. So take care, and like I say, I'll be back with Jean-Claude tomorrow.